Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dockery. We're grateful that you've joined us tonight, and we hope that you are able to gain from yet another dialogue intended to be educational, to be motivational, and life-transforming. The United States of America operates as a capitalistic society in a system of free enterprise. When it comes to distributing and generating money, quote unquote, what is meant is conducting business with the promise of some sort of natural resource with a specific value. For those who are unincorporated, day-to-day survival in this capitalistic society and business is conducted with legal tender notes. We call dollars, coins we call change, money. What that means is how cash or resources are obtained is referred to dirty. So those are the things that you do to get it. Tonight we're going to answer the question, can any good come from dirty money? You know, I hope in our conversation we are able to define what dirty money is. But let me kind of explain to you the nature of the United States of America and this capitalistic infrastructure and nature. The number to call us here is 657-383-0944. And let me say ahead of time that we are likely going to abbreviate the time for our show due to some other business that we have to tend to tonight before the evening is over, the long day today. But nonetheless, we'll be here for the greater part of our hour and a half. But give us a call and join us and be a part of our dialogue. 657-383-0944. We're thankful for our regular panel co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, who's been wonderful and continues to serve with us. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get to our discussion. Tonight, we're going to be looking at a couple of case studies. I promised you throughout the month of February that we're going to provide some case studies. Now, a little context for that. Over the last few years, I have put together a lecture series and a lecture workbook that accompanies that series. And we have laid out and intimated 95 different historical incidents or cases of positive and negative experiences of Afro-American people. So for Black History Month, that's going to be our focus. So our endeavor is each show we're going to provide you at least two or three case studies or historical events, people you should know and people you can learn from and benefit. We're really focusing on our young people because I believe that there's yet hope for them. We're going to ask a question. If they got caught up in the game, is there any good that can come from their dirty money? All right, but lest I digress. Again, the number to call us here is 657. That's live tonight, 657-383-0944. And we'll come right back to it after our monologue. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse reads, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That's 1 Timothy 6:10. I want to begin by talking about a fellow by the name of Max Weber. He wrote a book entitled The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism. This is his book, and Weber was a German sociologist and economist and a politician. Okay? In the book, he writes about capitalism in North Europe or northern parts of Europe to include America, and how as Protestantism evolved, capitalism evolved with it, and it influenced the people, particularly the framers or the founders of America that came over and started this country from Europe and other places. And with them, they brought the concept of capitalism. And it was predicated on that notion that God gave me a right that not even the Pope can control. And since I'm free to believe like I want to, I think I'm going to believe I can make me whatever kind of money I want to when I get ready. You may think it's dirty or wrong, but guess what? God gave me a right as a free believer and thinker to do what I want to do. Okay? And here is what Max Weber's book, The Protestant Ethic and the Spirit of Capitalism, that was his primary thesis, is that with Protestantism, which means to protest and go against the Catholic Church and the doctrine of the Church, with that came the right to free enterprise and to make money, all right, or wealth, generate wealth, really not so much money, but generate wealth. There is a strong history and correlation between the two. Now, he wrote this book in about 1700s or so. There was a fellow by the name of Meyer Rothschild. You may have heard of one of the wealthiest families in the world. This is old man Rothschild. He existed around in 1834 or so. His famous quote is, "Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes the laws." That's deep. I don't care who make your laws, what kind of law you make. If I can control your money and the way you make your money, I can control you. That's deep right there. Now, we talking. We don't want to ask the question, is there anything good can come from dirty money? Now, we're going to get there. I'm going to set the stage up for you. Mr. Rothschild, his name was Amschur Rothschild, was an economist himself and a businessman, and he discovered some basic principles of power, influence, and control over people as you apply that to economics. Power, influence and control over people's day-to-day life using economics. Even Christian people, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, it don't matter. All right? Now, that principle is when you assume the appearance that you have the power over them, people soon give that power to you. In other words, you got a good bluff going. Mr. Rothschild had discovered that currency or deposit loan accounts had required the appearance that they had power. You got a few pennies in your pocket, and you're making a whole lot of noise, shaking it in your pocket. Folks think you're rich, man. You walk around and think you got it going on. You ain't got nothing but some pennies in your pocket because you're making that much noise. And they think you got it going on, right? Well, he said that what you are able to do is to convince them and induce these people to give you whatever they got. This is called an economic inductance. All right? And people will respond to you just like you want to if you got a good enough marketing game. They'll lay it down for you. Okay? I'm going to talk about young cats and their marketing game in just a minute now. But let me not get ahead of myself. They will surrender their wealth, their material, and everything. The church did it when the Catholic priests were giving out wooden coins for penance, telling people if you want to get to heaven, you got to take these coins. You got to buy these coins with your money. Any good come from dirty money? They would put up real collateral in exchange for loans or promissory notes. In other words, you gave what you literally had in your hand with the promise that this piece of paper was worth something and that it'll take you somewhere. Cats are dying in the streets over a piece of paper. They think it's going to take them somewhere. Now, I hope you can see how the American system of free enterprise was predicated and based on the notion that you got a right and a justification, even religiously, to define how much and where you make your money and how you make your money. I don't care who thinks it's dirty or not. Let me tell you something. In America, if it's green, it'll spin. You understand what I'm saying? Now, some people would argue that some places you shouldn't spend no money. You know, the church shouldn't take no dirty money. Let me tell you where you're going to find money in America. Three places in particular. In the church, come on somebody. The banking system, and when you go to the grocery store or anywhere else to spend, to purchase goods or consume goods, you're going to find American money there. If you ain't got no American money, they ain't going to take it. Now, you can have a treasury bond or something like that from another country and go to a bank and they'll change it for American money like you do when you go to Canada. Otherwise, hey, I don't care how good you think you look, that dog ain't going to hunt. No, sir. No, sir. Now, I promised to talk in our promo about one case study. Well, I got two for you tonight. Ain't that nice? I'm going to start talking about 1965, December 1965. This is case study 61 in our workbook. And by the way, this is the basis of our traveling workshop and lecture series. We lecture from this. Lesson to be learned. Followed by the name of Ellsworth Raymond Johnson, also known as Bumpy Johnson, was an American mob boss. And he was a black man, a black American mob boss in Harlem, New York, from 1940 to about 1965. To many poor folk in New York, Bumpy Johnson was like their black Robin Hood because he was working America, spoiling Egypt, getting all the money he can. But guess what he was doing, folks? He was selling dope to his own people and anybody else that would buy it, destroying lives. But in his mind, he said, if I do some good with my money, that'll justify So you know what Bumpy would do? He would, during Thanksgiving, give out turkeys and fixings for dinners. He'd make little loans to people when they were short on their rent and things of that nature. They had to pay him back with interest, of course, you know. But he felt like, I'm doing something to help. I'm giving back, right? I'm making money, I'm giving back. But you're destroying lives, Bumpy. Mentoring young street hustlers who want to come up in the game. You know, he felt like that was his community service, you understand? One of his little street hustlers that he brought in, young fellow who came out of South Carolina, born in 1930, his understudy and became his bodyguard for 15-some years, fellow by the name of Frank Lucas. Frank Lucas became most ruthless, and he actually learned from Bumpy Johnson how to watch the white mobsters, and Bumpy do his thing, and he became an expert at that thing. He took it to another level. Frank didn't just get his dope from within America, but he figured out how to go get his dope from over there in Laos, where they cut it fresh, you understand, and bring it back over here. So he was able to sell a product that the Italians and everybody else was selling dirt cheap and make a whole lot of money. Having studied from Bumpy Johnson, Frank said, I got to do something, give a little bit back, you know. Got to feed some people, hook some people up, you understand what I'm saying? Give a little money to the church, you know what I mean? I mean, that makes me feel a little bit better about it, you know. It's dirty money, but guess what? I'm doing some good. Can any good come from dirty money? That's the question tonight. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. In Nashville, Tennessee, I was teaching at a public high school. It was one of the struggling high schools in Nashville. And I got to meet, before I taught, I worked in a juvenile detention facility, and I met, and before I worked in a juvenile detention facility, I met, I worked in the prison system. And I met a young man who became a fairly popular rapper. The fellow name was David Darnell Brown. He's also known by his stage name as Young Buck. I'm going to let you hear from Young Buck tonight. And became a very popular rapper, right? From Nashville, Tennessee, he created a record label that he called Cashville. Now, I know Pastor Waller know what I'm talking about. We're going to open this thing up. We're going to open this thing up in just a minute. Now, Young Buck, kind of like Bumpy Johnson and kind of like Frank Lucas, was known over East Nashville and Casey Housing Project to give food to people and to give out toys during Christmas time. Folk over there loved. They were crazy. He was like a little legend over there, like a little Robin Hood. They knew what he was in. He was in the game and he was in the rap industry, but guess what? He gave back to his people. They appreciated that for him. So they overlooked all the hurt, all the destruction that came from his primary source, drugs. People loved him for killing them. Ain't that something? That's an interesting dynamic. People fall in love with you when you want to kill them. Listen to Young Buck and what he says. We're going to open up our phone lines here. 657-383-0944. This is Reuben Dockery. This is Talk Straight. Tonight we're talking from the topic, can any good come from dirty money?
Doing this shit, if you're running right. All the bitches gon' do what the niggas getting money like. All like it's the weekend, even though this is a Monday night. Tell them niggas I got what? And a dirty sprite. Yeah. And I'm running around for niggas trying to earn a strike. What? I've been posting up for years, bitch, I deserve this life. Yeah, yeah. Go serve my old head. Yeah, yeah. We go way back. Yeah, yeah. All this snitching shit is new. We didn't play that. No, no. We didn't wear it. No, no. We didn't say that. No, no. We didn't. We didn't pay that. Right. We used the sherry. Yeah, yeah. We didn't weigh that. No, no. Back when niggas kept the bricks where they stayed at. Let's my niggas still gonna post up and ain't going nowhere to they money right. Hey. We posted up. Standing right here, ain't going nowhere. My niggas still gonna post up and ain't going nowhere to they money right. Still working. We gonna die trapping. Ain't going nowhere. These hoes don't want no broke niggas. Nah, 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 nah. Ain't fuck around with no broke niggas. Nah, 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 nah. So my niggas gon' post up and stand right here to they money, right? Yeah. All my niggas that's in the trap still trying. trapping, y'all know what it's like.
Yeah. I'm talking about, you know, niggas in the trenches. The gutter, the ghetto, the trap. Whatever y'all know it as. I'm talking about nigga making nothing into some street niggas, you know?
Street niggas, you know? We in the trap. Pastor Ricky Waller.
Man.
Pastor Ricky Waller.
Yes, sir.
What hey, about that, hey, man?
Talk
to me about
right there,
I know you know about this.
Yeah, there's a lot going on right there. Amen.
Huh?
I know. Yes, a lot going on right there. I heard you talking about for the love of money.
Yes, sir.
The root of evil. You know, and when you said something about dirty money, anything good come out of it, can you know, a person doing good with dirty money. And you know, I can only say about what I know. And
talk to me, man. Talk to me.
One, my money was dirty, but my money was not dirty concerning where I was spending it at. I mean, things that I was doing, no one ever said my money was dirty. You know, if I was taking something at the store, they didn't look at my money to see was it dirty or not.
They didn't ask you where it came from.
No, no. Even when I came into the church years later, I didn't have a whole lot of money, but the money that I did have, they accepted it. They never looked at it and said, is this dirty money? They just took my money. You know, so I like to, you know, myself find out when they say something about dirty money. Let's just say, for instance, I'm using my own experience for an example.
Okay.
If I had those thoughts, I'd take to the church. And I said, man, you know, I didn't. Been doing all that I've been doing, and I never called upon the Lord and said how good he was. I never thanked him for the money that I was getting for what I was doing. I wasn't pretending to be on God's team. And then all of a sudden, the pain got so severe, so I took a visit, you know, came into the church, and they was picking up money that I found out. They was picking up offerings and things like that. And, No one never told me that I couldn't put no money in the envelope and take it up.
Fix it up, Rich. Fix it up, man.
They never stopped me and said, hold it. Say, hold
come
it.
On,
say,
man.
About you.
Wait, hold on, Pastor. But what kind of, where'd your money come from, man?
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, and I was in the drug game. I was into a whole lot of other things that I was into.
Yes, sir.
I was into life. I was trapped. I was captured. I was twisted.
Like the young man we're talking about, young Buck. You were in the trap, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was in
and
there.
You were
posted
up until you got your money right.
But yeah, it was a daily thing. I mean, that was something that I was doing. You know, but I never called my money dirty. I never survival. I used to, it's got to survive out in the real world. And I knew a little bit about, people that would go to a job for a 9 to 5 and, all those other time frames of when they go to work. I just knew that I was a money getter. And so when I came up into the church, make a long story short, I discovered something. I discovered the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. So if that happens to be true,
Say that one more time, Pastor.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to cut you off. Say that one more time for the listening audience. The what is what?
I found out that the Word of God said that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So they used to take my money, and I don't know what they would do with it. I never asked them, what are y'all doing with my money?
Okay.
But I believe they did things that was done. In other words, they cleaned me up, and they had to clean my money up as well, I guess.
So the church was a laundromat for dirty money then. Is that what you're saying?
For mine, anyway. Because that's what
hold on one
my
second. I got 3072 on, Pastor. 3072, you got two preachers on here seemingly inferring that it's okay to bring your dirty money in the church and let it get washed. What about that, 3072?
That's my people there.
Okay. Is that your folk right there? Come on, 3072, help me out tonight.
Even though it wasn't
I mean... Pastor Waller just made a great point. I mean, and I think ultimately it's for God to judge, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that money did do some good. It was dirty, and not only was the money clean, but he was clean. So in that, for that instance, I mean, yeah, to me, that's okay. That's all right.
Hmm. So
now the problem is,
okay,
all right, I think,
all right,
the
all
problem
right,
becomes, right. There becomes a problem when the church knows that, hey, this guy is out there on the block. He's prostituting people. He's done got away with killing people. He's done this, and he's not trying to change his life. But he is trying to find somewhere to launder his money. Now, in a situation like that, we're not playing with you, bruh. Take that on back out there on the block, and when you get ready to try to come, you know, correct, and maybe you got a doggone a sack full of cash that you made, but this day, I'm surrendering all.
Yeah,
I want to put this here, and I want to put that behind me. I think there's nothing wrong with that, and I hope God don't strike me if I'm wrong, but I think God will be in support of that too.
Hold on one second.
Yeah.
Hold you right there. Hold you right there. 657-383-0944. Brendan, give me a call. Jerry, give me a call. Brother Fitzgerald, give me a call. Cole Battle, holler at me. Brother Robinson, if you're listening, give us a call. Chief Shelton, call me, man. Brother Taylor, call me. Miss Kenya Shelton, give me a call. Miss Sanford, listen, I play Young Buck, and some may wonder why that I use such harsh music. But can I tell you something? If you're scared of that, don't go in the streets, because they're going to run over you.
My goodness.
An old song. That's an old song, but that's the language of the streets. And if you're going to try to fix a problem, you got to be willing to get close to it and get dirty with it in order to get it clean. I wish I had a witness, somebody. How
that's
you going to pick up
that's
trash? Not, come on now. Come on now. So here's the thing. When we talk about dirty money, what makes it dirty? There's an argument to be made that in the United States of America, historically, every penny they made was dirty, because it was made off the backs of the Native Americans. They brought people of Afro descent over here and forced them into servitude and labor to make their money. Is it clean? That's the question. Y'all give me a call, 657-383-0944. We'll keep talking while you get your fingers together and give us a call here. I want to hear from you. Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Look here, man. Back in the early 80s, I was a young cat, and I was working at Mike Dickel. He was the coach for the Chicago Bears at the time, doing that 85 team and what have you. I was working at his restaurant over there on the north side, right? It was a nice, lavish place and everything. You had to have a membership to get in there. In the bathroom, they were so exquisite that they had these porters that worked in the bathroom. And you come in, they will, when you got ready to dry your hand, they will hand you the towel. If you wanted some lotion, they give you the lotion. If you wanted some shaving or some perfume, they'll give you that to help you freshen yourself up to go back out, right? That's how lavish it was, marble floors and what have you. So I worked in the kitchen. So I ran upstairs to use the bathroom, you understand? And so I'm standing next to the urinal. This guy got this $1,000 suit on, it looked like, and Caucasian fella, and there were several other men in there, and the porter was black too. He got to talking, I don't give a blank about no money. I throw money away. So he went in his pocket, pulled out a wad, and flipped off a couple $100 bills. And just where he had urinated in the stall, he threw a $100 bill in the stall. The porter looked at me. I looked at the porter. And I said to myself, he better not walk up back to this bathroom and leave that money in that stall. He better not walk up back here. Get what he did 37-2.
What? Get
what he did 37-2.
What'd he do?
In a drunken stutter, He walked out that bathroom, and guess what I did? Man, I went and got that $100 bill. I got that money at that stall, went straight to the sink, rinsed it off, and got some of the, asked the porter to give me a paper towel, and I dried it off, put it in my pocket. I'm up out of here.
There you go.
I ate for
you
a whole week and still had money left over.
Oh, yeah.
Was that money dirty? Should I have done that?
No, I mean, again, it's not the money. It's the actions. It's the deeds behind the money.
Okay.
I mean, there's some people that may be in a mob gang, let's just say. They do what they do. However, they're paying their way, their children's way, their education, you know. Is that education dirty? They built homes, literally, homes. Is that house dirty? They're what, funding different things within the community. I'm not saying that I would do these things, but if I was going to be in a game like that, it would have to be a game that had some kind of, you know, that was serving some kind of purpose that would be worth me risking my life and possibly going to jail for the rest of my life. But look, crap like, just to do dumb stuff like what you just said, to throw $100 in the stall, or niggas out here and all, that's so ignorant and stupid. And you just pretty much playing with your life for nothing. For nothing.
Wait a minute.
Because at the end of the day, when the police pick you up and slap you in the back of that car and you hit that thing, all that you've done, all them people that you thought recognized you and respected you, you've forgotten. It's
Thursday,
another fool. It's another fool waiting to take your
but
phone.
But there's them, too. Can I say something to you? That's all they know
go ahead.
That's all they know on the block.
That's not an excuse.
Said,
that's not. Then you should. Okay.
What? I'm playing the devil's advocate now. He told you they going to stay on the block till they get their money right. You know what that means, don't you? Tell her what that means, Pastor Waller. Tell her what that means, Pastor Waller.
When your mind is trapped and you're on one track, I mean, that's just the nature of the game, you know, because you don't know anything about the other side. And I say that it's all about the motive. And it's a tough situation. It is happening right here today. Kids are caught up in because the scripture says, and a lot of them don't know nothing about the scripture. Even though I heard the song years ago, For the Love of Money. I've never seen it in the Bible, but it's in there. And so that these people don't know anything about it, it's easy to trap them. You know what I mean? All you got to do is just let them get $10 one day, $50 the next, $100 after that, it's over for most of them. And it's sad to say that, that it's an intentional trap. It's not a trap that they just fall into. I mean, you lure people into that to see if it's going to work, and that's how you capture the minds and hearts of young people. Now, am I angry about that? Of course I am. Because had I not been angry about it, I could have very well stayed in the game, got me a whole lot of money. But look at all the kids that I would be harming. And that's the thing that 37 is talking about, is that is it worth it? You say today that it's not worth it, no matter how much money comes, no matter how
much
money comes. You know what I mean?
Hold your thought. 37-2, hold your thought for a second. Pastor Waller, right now, I'm holding up in our live stream broadcast for our Facebook friends a copy of your book, Still High. Friends, you're listening to the author right now. Very powerful book. My son and I both read it, and we processed it real good. It's an easy read. And Pastor Waller describes how you can turn the mindset of young bucks and cats like that around from this mentality that we're talking about. And if they've been in a dope game, if they made dirty money in any other kind of way, it's not, dope ain't the only way that you make dirty money. It's some folks making dirty money behind the pulpit. Let me talk to somebody.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? But particularly, this book is on our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the Contact Us, and you'll see the back room. Every time you get one, he makes a contribution to our traveling lecture series. And this is the type of information that we want to bring to young men who don't know any different. Because they standing on the block till they get their money. That's what's in their mind. And that's what 3072 is talking about and Pastor Wallace talking about. I want to encourage you to go there and look at, get this book. Get this book, very powerful book. I'm sorry, 3072, I cut you off. Go ahead and finish your thought.
Well, I was just going to say, and Pastor Wallace, he mentioned the kids and how heartening, or, you know, just harming people. But let's say that you was a selfish, good son of a blank. So, however, still in the game out there, in the game, is it intelligent even to risk, again, your freedom, your luck, and maybe a chance to continue to make their money just to stay on the block? Even if you wasn't thinking about nothing else but you. That is the stupidest, most uneducated thing to do. You are setting yourself up even to be caught, to be trapped.
Can I say something to you, though?
So that's not, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
In all sincerity, you're speaking from your understanding, your frame of reference. But place yourself in the shoes of a little boy that grew up. Pastor Waller talks about this in his book, watching the hustlers, the gangbangers, the flickers, and the players.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all they aspire to be. It's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
It's all they know.
Yep.
He talks about that in his book. You have to place yourself in that shoe, and your message can't be that stupid and you crazy and you at your mind, but you've got to be able to represent to them the hope of change.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
For their lives.
Still, shouldn't they be taught to make more? Okay, and I understand what you're saying. That's all they knew. And, I mean, I didn't grow up in a great neighborhood either, and I saw things, too. I witnessed. I even ran with a few people. Sitting back, thinking, looking at it, processing things through. Not a good look, not a good move. This stuff
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, 37.
Pastor Walter, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, 3072, but a lot of people are not going to be able to see it like that because it's too strong. I was an innocent little kid. I was an innocent little kid playing with a basketball in my yard. And I was not thinking guys standing on the corner. I happened to see them there. And then I go back to doing what I've always loved to do, and I continue to see them. And the more I would see them on the corner, the more my focus started to zero in on what they was doing. And all of a sudden, I became interested in what they were doing. You know, it looked like it was pretty hip as a young boy like I was. And I said, you know, I still was playing with the ball, but I got captured. And the next thing I know, I'm running my whole community. And it's sad because it all started with what I was seeing them doing on the corner. You know, I was so innocent. You know, if you see me having a ball today, you'd be like, Pastor Waller, you didn't tell me you were still able to handle a ball like that. I'm 60 now, and I can handle a basketball better than I could when I was 16. You know what I'm saying? That's the matter. So that never took away from that. It just had more power than my basketball did to me, you know.
Yeah.
And just on yesterday, I've been delivered from drugs for 26 years on the 31st of January.
Great,
you know, so it's a good thing to be able to look back and say, okay, I have more respect for my community now. And no, I don't have the money. I don't have the money, but I have the love. I have the compassion. I have the understanding what it takes to not pick that stuff up again to do harm to my people. So that's why.
Can I slide in here, Pastor, and say, because you're making a great point, if I may. And let's go back to the text in 1 Timothy. What 3072 young people, males and females. I read where a young girl, 12-year-old, shot some people in a school in California. So it's not just guys anymore. Unfortunately, young girls are becoming as ruthless as these young guys are. And I don't know all the details, and I'm not trying to get into that now. But my point is, young guys have to understand there's nothing wrong with you having capitalistic ideas or interest in free enterprise. But it's the love of money that gets you caught up. See, when all you do is love to make money, what you going to do with the money? And if is it your question is valid, 3072, is the money you make worth the lives that you take? Well, you don't know any better. Young, dumb, and caught up, you don't know. You're not processing life like that. Because all you've learned is to be hungry for what? Money.
Yeah.
So
you know
let me share a brief story.
Yes, and I didn't
okay,
even know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Excuse me, go ahead. Go ahead, 37.
Go ahead,
okay,
Pastor Wallace. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, and the sad thing about it, I didn't even know I was addicted to the money until later on. You know, and that's how low down and dirty the folks are who cause this stuff to take place, you know, is to know that I was going to not only get hooked on drugs, I got hooked on the money and the drugs. I talk about that in my book. I was hooked on drugs. And so therefore...
Yeah.
You know, it was like a sad case all around, is what I'm saying. I would like, I tell you what, I'm going to encourage 3072 one day for, you know, to get her information. I wanted to get her a book to her so she can kind of get a chance to see just what I dealt with and the compassion that I have now. You know, you'll appreciate it. If you don't like the book, I'll give your money back. You know,
I'm holding up page 25 where you're talking about that in the book here. For our Facebook friends. But, yes, go ahead, 3072. You were going to say something. You were going to share with us a story.
No, yeah, I was going to share a brief story. So I was born and raised in Chicago, moved to the South.
That's
went back to visit a great friend that, you know, I grew up with. Well, she was getting married, and, you know, her guy, I don't know what he did. He took us out, and the whole time he's like throwing big bills, you know, bills. And I'll never forget he made a comment. They were asking me what I do for work and all that. So the fact that I worked, I clocked in, was hilarious to them.
Is that right?
I'm like, you know, that's just stupid. You're only, you know, and I can only guess what he did. Her thing was legitimate, but him, I'm looking like, okay, so something's wrong with me because I don't, you know, have a record or I have a real job or, you know, it's funny how what's right is what's wrong now.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
just, to me,
sure.
it's crazy.
Sure.
It's crazy.
Sure.
You're right
what,
there.
Now, just consider this, though, 3072. That's what I keep telling people, Pastor. In the hood, that may fly. But in the real world, that dog won't hunt.
Yeah.
You can't get everybody ain't going to go for that. You're going to have to bring another level of intellect. You're going to have to be able to demonstrate your skill set and to be able to compete with everyone else. Now, in the hood, you can be a little rug rat, a little hood rat, and you get praise for it.
Here's what's even funnier. So you may be $100,000, $50,000. You got to carry that around in your pocket. You got to have that in the backyard. You got to put that under a mattress. Why? Because you can't be legitimate. You can't have a bank and a checking account. You can't go and get a loan for a house. You know, that's crazy.
And watch this. You got to keep that heat on you, too, for somebody to come try to get that money from you. Is that right, Brother Pastor?
Yeah, it's a terrible life, man. Yeah,
it's ugly.
Mine was miserable. Yeah, mine was miserable with an increase. When I got out of it, you know, I thought about how miserable I was, man. I said, man, that is terrible. And it's happened over and over and over again. And we have to get down to the solution, man, because I still believe, you know, as I said, I've always believed after I got free, that if I got free, I don't think it's hard for too many people to get free with the right information.
That's right.
I mean, but it's a terrible thing altogether. Yes, it is. Without a doubt.
Yeah. The good thing is that once you get people to realize that that's nothing but a lie that has been funded by the entertainment industry.
It's amazing how
the media has fed into that lie, has glorified. You understand what I'm saying? Listen to Drake. Listen to Drake, 3072. Listen at the mentality here. And this guy, young cats, thinking that this is real world talk right here. That's where everybody is. Listen to him just for a second.
Ooh.
Hold on 1 second, Will. We'll get this going here. But as we set it up, the thing is that they are under the misconception that this is where everybody accepts and this is what's real, and it isn't.
Yeah. All right. Paige, I hope you don't mind me just having a little fun, you know. I know that you're joined. I always like the song, so I figured I may as well go in. Here we go.
I'm still fly.
Yeah.
I'm sky high, and I dare anybody to try cut my way. I'm still pulling at the phantom, and these haters can't stand
That's me.
Singing,
by the way,
I'm still doing
if
my
you didn't
thing.
Know.
I'm still fly.
Yeah.
I'm sky high.
Some new shit I'm on.
Anybody to try cut my way.
I promise I got 'em though.
I'm still shutting cities down. Every time I come around, nigga, I'm still doing
yeah,
my thing. I'm still.
Responsible for everything you listen to. I mediocre talent proceed to try and condition you. Took over my city and I never asked permission to. Started popping bottles cause it's ATF tradition to. Celebrated by my fuck them at the Soho. If there ain't an elevator in it, it's a no-go.
What it is, listen to it. Can y'all see how the enemy play tricks on your mind? Now, I like music too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a musician. But you put a nice beat to it, 3072. You understand? We got a little bass back there, and enough people jumping around you and paying you attention.
Yeah.
You think this stuff is real? It go to your head,
right?
Then you gotta wake
now,
up and face
I mean,
the real world.
Some of the
go
songs,
ahead,
I mean, and I'm not a big rap fan. However, I can appreciate some. There's gospel rap. I love that. However,
yeah.
Anything with a realistic positive message, I'm like, hey, dance, snap your fingers or whatever. But yeah, some of that stuff now they're just promoting young people to pop pills, overdose, drink cold medicine, eat pad, whatever those pod things are that's killing. Just all kind of
foolishness. Yeah, foolishness.
It's crazy.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
You know, and
wow.
And Pastor, here's the thing. When we talk about making money, we're talking about making a living, I want to be very clear. I made reference to a church, you know. Unfortunately, young people are seeing preachers and politicians get in their game, quote unquote, to make money. And their thing is, they ain't right. They money dirty too. Because you got folk who can't eat. And you making them feel guilty if they don't give their money in the offering plate, but you drive them around in a Benz or a Bentley. You understand what I'm saying? Cadillac.
Yeah.
Somebody ain't right
about
that.
Well, I would respect that more. I would respect that more than him just going putting guns to people's heads. I mean, at least you getting some. He at least lying like he got the, you know, like he living a good life and he offering you the word of God.
I don't know he get a pass. In fact, people are looking for him to bring answers. They're looking for him through the word of God to improve their lives. You understand?
Yeah.
And basically, it sounds like he is capitalizing off of their emotional and social distress. And their desire for a better life, even through God. I wonder if there's a difference between the dope man and somebody like that, Pastor.
No.
Let me hear from Pastor.
No, go ahead. You know, let her say what she's gonna say, and then I come back after that.
Okay, go ahead, 3072.
I mean, okay, so you can put them possibly in the same category. However, I mean, if you don't just judge, then and if I'm going to be made a fool of or taken advantage of, I'd rather sit up there and listen to him before I would the brother on the block. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, that just makes a little bit. If I'm going to be a fool, I'll take the route out.
Okay. All right. Help me out, bro, Pastor.
Yeah, listen, I'm thinking about the food bar, and I love that when she mentioned that, if I'm going to be food. Because I remember, you know, and to be a fool and not know it is one thing, but also to be a fool and know it. And so when I came out of I was reminded that I was a fool. I found in the Word of God that most people don't know anything about the Word of God when they're out there hustling. And I'm not saying that they all don't. Most of them don't know that because of the fast pace of the lifestyle won't allow you to know that. But the Word of God says, he that trusted in his own heart is a fool. Okay, that used to be me. I used to lean my own heart. I used to lean to my own understanding. I did my own thing. But he said, whosoever walk wild shall be delivered. Okay, I put my trust in him and I was delivered, meaning that I know what it is to be a fool. You know, if I trust in me for any moment in life again, I'm trusting in a fool. So I just don't trust me today. And I'm thankful that I can do that. And some people may say, well, what you mean you don't trust yourself? No, no matter whether you like it or not, whether you think I'm right or wrong, I'm still not going to trust me. So that's that's the only way I'm going to be able to perfect what it is that he has done for me is to always acknowledge him, make sure in all my ways acknowledge him. I'm not going to never acknowledge me. I can talk positive, good. I can say anything. You know, I even told you not long ago that I don't even like opinions because I know what that is. I'm just having an opinion. I might be right and I might be wrong. But if I don't trust you, you're doing real good no matter what's going on. Just make sure I don't trust me. So many kids right today, man, are trusting themselves. As soon as they see what they see, they get with it, and suddenly the enemy get them in a trap. So they have to trust somebody. If they don't trust God, who they going to trust?
They trust So you're saying lean not to your own understanding. Some of your ways.
No, all of my ways I have to acknowledge him.
The ways you pick and choose.
Okay,
so look, Pastor Waller, when you finish, I have a question. Go ahead, finish talking.
Okay, see what I said that when I came into the church, I knew that I was just going to church, so I was still trusting me, but when I turned my life over to him that day, that very moment I stopped trusting him. And I've done so much, I've snorted so much heroin after I put my life in his hand, but I wasn't trusting me. See, I was waiting to get delivered, and I wasn't going to deliver myself because I didn't know how to do it. And so the day that I experienced deliverance, it was because I kept showing up, and I was trusting him. I said, okay, God, I know people are talking about me being back up on this corner selling this dope. I said, but I'm going to keep trusting you. You know, and that's what I had to deal with, and it was tough. It was not easy. And then all of a sudden, on a Friday, in 1992, I was delivered. It's amazing that so many people that the enemy already know don't trust God. The enemy knows that. How do we know? New generation of people, they don't have no knowledge of God. You know? And we know that perfectly clear. So that's why the Word of God is telling us to take it to the streets. You know what I mean? Go out there on the street corners and the highways and byways, that's the purpose of ministry, man, is to wake people up, is to make them aware. Like Peter 72 is saying, you know, you got to get out there on the ground, man, because the enemy is on the ground. The enemy is making it sound good, making that beat sound good, making that look good. The enemy know how do that. So is wrong with the people up into the church glorifying God inside of a church? But yet still, once they leave, the enemy say, come on over into my kingdom. I got you from now on until you go back next Sunday or next other day you're going. You know? I'm done.
Ain't that something?
Good.
Ain't that something?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? I came from the streets. I came from the world, so I know the world's way. You know, I'm going to say this right here, and I'm going to turn it back over to you. I found out in the Word of God, it says, the Lord said, I came to my own. But my own received me not. Many of them that believe, to them I gave power to become sons of God. In other words, see, he knew I didn't claim to be on his team. I'm out there doing my own thing. But he gave me some information and allowed me to come inside of his kingdom because he knew Once I got inside his kingdom, I was just trying to find out how he operates.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And the first thing you got to do is stop trusting yourself. And so that's the key, man. Too many people in church trust themselves, man. You know, in the church, still trusting themselves. What kind of stuff
I
is
follow
that?
Your line of thought there, Pastor, but but okay, all right. Let's get 3072's question, and then I want to bring us in because we're going to abbreviate our show a little bit tonight. And I want to talk a little bit about what we're doing with the series and as we move forward for the rest of February, Black History Month. We want this to be a powerfully instructive period. Go ahead. What was your question, 3072?
I'm the young brother. I'm the young brother, and I'm coming to you, okay? Drugs. However, I want to, like you said, I don't know how to trust God. Will God come and talk to me when I'm sitting on the bed counting this money? Will God come and rescue me? Are they going to take me to jail and then give me another chance and I can, you know, that's the question. How do I trust God? Is there
a
book that you've wrote on that to show me day by day, moment by moment, thought by thought, deed by deed, what do I do? I don't know how to do that. How do I do that? Yeah, I know that possibly God exists. They say it to pray, but again, how do I develop a connection even that is real? Something that I know and not just what somebody tell me.
Right. It's personal. I got you. I like that. Matter of fact, I love what you said. And it allowed me to utilize what I know because I was on the street when I heard from him. That was a voice. I would explain to him that was a voice. And I can hear the cry of you right now as a person that want to change, which is a starting point. And see what happens
sure.
at the starting point is a desire. And see, David said, one thing I desire of the Lord is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, which I'm not in there, but I do have a desire. And see, it all starts with the desire. And that's the good part right there. So I would say to you, I said, you're already on the right track right now. Even though you don't see evidence of it, the bottom line, you just stepped out on faith and you made it known by confessing that I want to change my life, but I got all of this money. And I'm doing all these things. And I would say to you, don't worry about what you got because we walk by faith and not by sight. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that way, you know, you'd be able to get some energy knowing that, well, you mean tell me that I don't have to worry about all this money that I got? No, God is looking more.
No, and then, so let me ask you this then. Okay, so I heard that and I'm ready to do that. Now, what about me still being in the hood? What about Pookie?
Yeah.
What about Joe Blow? That stay on 69th, my little circle, the playground
yeah.
that I still have to live in. What am
yeah.
I do? Like, what am I do?
That's good. That's good. I'm still
using
that.
Go ahead, Pastor. I'm going to respond when you finish, Pastor.
Okay, let me hit you with the right quick. In my era, in my come up, I was the ringleader. And humbly say that not because I said I was, is because they say that I was, you know, by the way I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm running everything. But anyway, okay, so it was kind of awkward for me to come out of the street knowing that I got all these friends that's still in there. Well, they had so much respect for me stepping out to do something different that they didn't try to lure me back in. They didn't try to, you know, make it seem like I'm jiving, you know what I mean? They just looked and kept watching and seeing how I was going to do my thing. But
yeah.
What happened is that it's a personal thing, and God would touch people like those people that you were affiliated with, and they would give them an understanding to just allow you, and that's what happened with me. And I tell you, it was a great thing to see that because I thought they was going to have a super hard time with that. Like, you want to start us on this hill, and now you going to church and you coming back out and telling us that God is good, you know, like that. And they allowed me to, you know, to do what I was doing, and they didn't have the power to lure me back in. And so that's
well, but you realize that this is a different day and time even, and people are spiteful, seriously. These young people are mean.
Yeah.
Right, hold
they
hold
see
on.
Somebody
one
trying
second.
To, okay.
Hold on one second. I hate to cut
yeah,
you guys off, but you raise a great question, and I like the foundation that Pastor Waller laid for you. And essentially what I'm hearing him say is, I used to be you, now I'm the example of how you can change. And they welcome that. I want to respond to your question like this, and you've heard this before in our advertisement, but I want to let you hear from a real character, the name Pookie. And you may reference to that caller. Listen to this.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody.
Now you listen to Pookie, and what you hear in the background is that the clock is ticking, 37 to 2, every second.
Yeah.
While Pookie is in some kind of fantasy world that he's in control. Well, Pookie, if you were in control, you wouldn't be hustling and running scared like you are. Your life would be improved. It'd be much better. You wouldn't be afraid of dying every day. And on the ready to kill somebody else out of fear that you may be next, right? Pookie, you ain't you're not in control. And the first thing we got to do in a loving, compassionate, understanding way is to let Pookie know, bruh, you do have to step away from the hood. But you got to be willing to do that. We can put our hands on you, and you'll come right back like a rubber band. But when Pookie picks up in his mind, 3072, that's the first thing you got to see. The catch is, we've got to be honest with folks. We cannot sugarcoat. We cannot be politically correct. And we could not half-step with the truth. If you're going to do that, leave Pookie alone. In fact, game know game so well, they know when you're real and when you're not.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Now, the truth of the matter is, God has allowed us to live as long as we have, and it's a shame that all these folk around here claiming they got answers. You lived all these years and you can't use your experiences to save your own people. Truth of the matter is, you gotta shoot straight with them. You know, Pastor Wallace, if you catch me face down in a cow pasture where the cow done dropped his droppings, I don't want you to play games with me, man. Hurry up and get me up, huh?
Yeah, help me out.
Don't be talking smack. Get me up, man. My face is in the cow pasture. Get me on up. And we can talk about all that other stuff after I get that stuff out of my mouth. Is that right, 3072?
Yeah.
This is where we are in 2018. Young people can see when you are sincere because they're dying for somebody to tell them the truth, Pastor Waller. They're dying for somebody to confirm what they suspect, and that is, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go, and I don't have the answers. But I'm going to put on the front. I'm going to put on the front so I can make you think I'm in charge. See, one thing they got is a good hustle. They got that good. They got the hustle thing down. But guess what? The nature of a hustle is, it's quick, fast, and as quick as it come, it'll go.
Yeah,
so
I know that.
Ain't no future in your front. That's the nature of a hustle.
Yes, sir.
The good news is, it is some good that can come from dirty money, but what I'm hearing in our conversation tonight is it's the motive of even making money that makes it good or bad, or makes it dirty or clean.
Yeah.
Now, I would discourage anyone from prostituting anyone, from exploiting anyone, from abusing anyone. I would discourage it. And I'm not just talking about in the dope game and prostitution and gambling or what have you.
Right.
I'm even talking
right.
about church work.
Yeah.
See? And you're talking to a pastor now. The truth of the matter is there are a lot of people who have given up on life because they don't trust time-honored institutions such as the church and government, family. Can't trust black men. Can't trust black women anymore. Who are you going to trust?
Well,
why
aren't we teaching? Well, and I hear Pastor Wallace saying don't trust yourself. But why, I mean, at some point, don't you have to be able to? I mean, trust yourself over somebody else out there even trying to lead you back into a trap or wrong?
Here's what Pastor Wallace is saying when he said, Pastor, can I correct me if I'm wrong? But what I'm hearing you say when you explain what you mean by not trusting yourself, Pastor, what I'm saying is that you're not leaning to your understanding.
Right.
Right? You're not leaning to your understanding, Pastor, but you're leaning to the wisdom of truth in the Word of God.
Yeah. Now that I have the knowledge.
That's what I'm hearing
you
say. That's what I'm hearing you say. You're not allowing your limited knowledge and understanding to keep you where you are, but you're trusting what God says.
Yes. I mean, that's it, because I was instructed to do that. When he said, you know, to lean not to your own understanding, I knew then whether one think you're right or wrong, whether you think you're right or wrong, whether you like it or not, still don't lean to your own understanding in all your ways, acknowledge me. So everything that I do, I may be going down an avenue, and I believe that I'm going the right way, but I don't lean to my own understanding. Even though I'm going the right way, I'm still not leaning to it. So just in case I'm going wrong, I'm still not leaning to it. Well, out in the real world, the thing people know is trusting themselves. See, I'm just aware now, today, and 26 years, I can say I haven't trusted myself in 26 years. But I didn't know anything about that before. You see, how I got free from drugs, it stopped trusting me. You see?
Yeah.
As long as it's trusting me, I made sure that I continued to do drugs and everything else that I was doing. And the beauty of it is to learn that. See, I had to learn how to do that. These guys in the street don't know nothing about that. They got to trust themselves. You know,
that's true.
Yeah, it's
you see where you're coming from, 3072?
Yeah, I mean, and I got what he was saying about following God. I'm talking about them, though, and I think that is the problem. They're, like, guided and led by other people versus
that's true.
Listening to their inner voice that they have. God possess everybody with. He does speak with us. He communes with us. We tend to block him out, and you know what I'm saying? So I was just saying that first maybe we should teach the young man, the young boy, to, always, man, consult yourself to know if what somebody else is telling you is good even.
Now, your point is well taken, because all of us have a reason that we like a certain type of food or we dislike a certain type of thing or person.
Right.
That's our motivational drive. That's really what you're speaking to. You do have to have the wisdom as you seek to help others. You must have the wisdom and the understanding to know how to address them. And I'll tell you again and again, and I hate to rush this, but we got to kind of bring our show to close tonight in just a few minutes. But you got to have the wisdom and the understanding to engage them in such a way that you allow them to tell you where they are and where they want to be. Now, you know, you have an idea where they need to be from experience. But if they don't, Paul said if a man doesn't work, he don't eat. What the text is talking about, if you don't have the drive and the will to put the work in for your own nourishment and existence, guess what? Like the body without a soul, your faith is dead. But the trick, 3072, for those of us who seek to make a difference, the trick is understanding first that they're sick. And the nature of their illness is misunderstanding, often, with all due respect, ignorance. And you've got to put the Bible down, put your cross down, and be the essence of the word in their life. Now, that's where a lot of folk have a hard time. That's where a lot of folk have a hard time. Young cats don't want to hear nothing about quoting from scriptures. They don't want to hear that.
No.
They'll tell you that in a minute. I don't want to hear that today now. So your life has to be a light. Your walk has to be an example. And who you are must be so mesmerizing and captivating to them that they want to know, what must I do?
That's good.
When they see you. When they see you. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you see me, you see the Father. That's where we got to get to a point where when folks see our righteousness, the question in the back of their mind, God, dog, how do I get some of that? What I got to do? What I got to do? Be like that. That's what they're doing when they see the hustler and the drug dealer. As a little baby, they ask the question, how can I emulate them? But our example has to be so strong, so pure, and so real that we do the same thing. I hate to, guys, I hate to, let me, in this last few minutes, I showed you Pastor Rick Wallace's book, www.bfcinstitute.com. He and I are partnering together, and I want you to get this. We talked about it tonight, and I want to reiterate that again. This is the lecture series that I was sharing with you. I'll put it up a little closer so you can see it. This is the workbook that we're traveling with, and when we come to a venue or city, we're using this, and you'll notice that in it, we have the various case studies that I was telling you about, and we describe what 3072 is asking us about. How? She's asking process questions. How do you do that? We talk about it. We did that last year in 17 and 18. We're talking about how to make these things happen. How do you bring good out of dirty money? Now, dirt is good for you. Did y'all know that? Right. If it's used right. Because you can plant seed in fertile dirt.
That's
and it can bring forth good fruit. I wish I had a witness to that. And that's the catch right there. It's how you look at it. It's about the angle. It's about the angle. I hate to cut us off early tonight, but I do have to move to another some other business. But long day today. But we thank God for you. This has been Talk Straight. We'll be back next Tuesday, and Lord willing, we won't have to rush as much. Next Tuesday, we're going to come with some more case studies from our lecture series. That's what we're going to be doing all of February, is talking from our historical lecture series. These are examples of things, lessons to be learned to help turn around the life of young men that are in trouble. And I was just reading an article today, Pastor, that was, man, I tell you, but there's yet hope. There's yet hope.
Yeah.
If we be not weary in our well-doing, the Bible said we shall receive a reward, and I'm looking for one, and that reward would be to see them do better. Thank God for you. 3072, bless you.
Yeah.
Pastor Wallace, thank you so much, man, for everything, and our listening audience, all of our Facebook friends. We appreciate you. Look like you. They some may have just listened in to us. We appreciate that. Feel free to go to the conversation thread in Facebook and open up a dialogue there. And as soon as we can get back to Facebook, we'll come and communicate with you. Any thoughts or comments that you had on our tonight's topic and our discussion, and as you perhaps look at this live stream afterwards. But that being said, we're going to go ahead and conclude our show for tonight. Pastor Waller, thank you again. This is Talk Straight. Your host is Reverend Dockery. Go to our website, www.bfcinstitute.com. Learn about what we're doing, as well as support us by going to the contact tab and then go down to the back store. There are some other items there. This workbook that we're talking about, the accompanying CD or DVD, I should say, is there as well, so it allows you to see everything in real time there. And we have our other workbook, the Framework for Fatherly Instruction, that we also have a lecture and a workshop piece on as well. But again, this is BFC Institute, Building Families and Communities, that is, Institute. And this is your host for Talk Straight, Reuben Dockery. And we're going to sign off with that and thank you and ask that you have a good night. And y'all join us again on next week as we come back to Talk Straight.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's BFCINSTITUTE.com.